Jerry Pippin, and we have Mary Sutherland with us, and it's kind of a simulcast. We're over on her website as well. And you've got you're like me, Mary. You could spend days on your website.
Yeah.
You have all kinds of information.
Well, that's you figure what 11, 12 years, and
same here. We've been doing it about the same time.
Well, we did. We started at the same time.
It's all on the web. I mean.
And because you were down in Las Vegas too doing your thing, but But
I want to get into, you've written a book, and I want to talk about that here in a minute, but before I even get to that, I want people, if they're on your website, that's fine, but they need to go over sometime and look at jerrypippin.com on the homepage, and the program highlights window, we have a picture of Mary. And you're looking good, by the way.
Well, thank you.
But that's an unusual picture. Tell people what that's about.
Well, now this one, I have little fun.
If they look over your shoulder.
Yeah. If you look over my shoulder, you'll see me watching my back. And I always say a person needs to always watch their back, right? So anyhow, I kind of made that picture up for fun. I'll send it to Jerry for this show, But yeah, that's a picture of, now that one is, I created that picture, Jerry. But the pictures that you see from the Haunted Woods, that's the real stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you created that especially for us.
Yeah, because I thought it was kind of cute the way I did that.
And we have a link there over to his page that you created especially for the show.
I did.
And we...
As a matter of fact, I stayed up until 3 o'clock. That's how come I was up so late last night. I worked on that page all day.
And they can go to burlingtonnews.net/lost-in-time.
Right. It's lost_in_time.
Burlington HTML.
News. Yeah. So
and
it's burlingtonnews.net.
We'll always have a link to it. We're creating a new Mary Sutherland page. It should premiere sometime tomorrow. That we hopefully will have this show on demand by then, and people can listen to it, and we'll be putting a lot of links to your activities. You got too many things going on for us not to be paying attention to you.
Yeah, and then this May we're going to be having Daryl Sims here, and Daryl Sims is going to be doing a workshop, and we're going to be starting to put something together like every month, every other month after the conference. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take another level. I'm going up another level, and do all the things.
Okay, they click on that link, they get to Lost in Time.
Right.
It's book number one in her 5-book series, In Search of Ancient Man.
Right.
And that book is available at your bookstore, and they can order it as well, right?
Right. As a matter of fact, they can order it right on that site. I put up a button, Buy Now. And just click that button, boom. It takes you right over to the shopping cart, and you got it. And
let's talk a little bit about, in the first place, congratulations on writing a book. I know you've talked about that for a long time.
Now well, actually, this is not my first book. I wrote Living in the Light.
Mm-hmm.
Then I wrote the book Revelations. And then after that, I wrote a smaller book called Mysteries, and now I've got this book out, Forgotten in, or Lost in Time.
Now you talk about a race of creator gods, and we've of course heard about the Anunnaki, and you tell us a little bit about this. Why you suddenly? Well, not suddenly. You've more or less been infatuated with this aspect of it all along.
Well, yeah, Jerry. I started this just because I was curious. I wanted to know for myself. It wasn't for the fact I wanted, to get out there and, preach to the world, about this, or, be doing what I'm doing today. But I just wanted to know for myself. do these things really exist? Do aliens exist? Was there an ancient race? You know, what's everybody talking about here? And so it was for my own personal satisfaction that I started. But as years went by, you know, it did become an obsession to me. I just had to know. And now I'm satisfied. And it's been this volume that I'm doing, or series that I'm doing in search of ancient man, it's taken over a decade, you know, of accumulating data, going out, researching, visiting with different people. I put together a radio show for that intention to learn as much as I possibly could. I did those websites so that I could get feedback from different people. And now I'm taking all this information and putting it together and putting this book out, or this series out. And the first book I call Lost in Time. But I think I've got just a little bit different take on this than most people out there do, because I do believe in extraterrestrials. I know that we're being visited. I have no doubt that we're being visited from, you know, different races. But I also realize that, you know, that there we can take it a little bit step further, as I have. And if you go to that website we're talking about, burlingtonnews.net/lost_in_time, you'll be able to see these pictures that I have put together. These pictures,
yeah,
are you on that site?
People are browsing it while we're talking, even.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to put this site up, so that people could actually look at these pictures as we talked about this. Because if you go to that site, you'll see, first of all, the book, Forgotten in Time, which you can buy. And then there was, the key to it all was Thoth, T-H-O-T-H. He was also known as Hermes, Enoch. And he was also known as Imhotep, and he was the writer of the book called the Emerald Tablets, and he wrote a very important passage in there, and it really struck home and sent me off into this direction that I now take, and he talks about these people that look like people but are not people. Okay? And let me read it. It says, serpent headed when the glamour was lifted, but appearing to man as man among men, crept they into the consoles, taking from that were like unto men, slaying by their arts the chiefs of the kingdoms, taking their form and ruling over men. Only by magic could they be discovered. Only by sound could their faces be seen. Sought they from the kingdom of shadows to destroy man and rule in his place. Now this was a warning that Thoth gave to us, you know. And so many times we hear people talking among themselves about why does not the governments take care of us? Why does it seem like we're being separated from our own governments, like Congress and the Senate, the world leaders? You know, it's just like there's two sets of rules, one set for one bunch, another set for another bunch. Well, I think that the reason for it is because there are two human factors living here on Earth. Us humans, We think that that they're us, so we judge them according to us. But they know that they're not us, and we're still living in that slave or that slave-like mentality, that slave-like society, ruled by them, and they do it so cleverly that we don't even see it. And of course, these people are being ruled by these so-called overlords that were the Anunnaki themselves. It goes all the way back to the days of the Anunnaki.
Let's go over some of these pictures, and people can go to the website. We'll have a link to it when we create your page, and they can listen to it again, this show. And but they can go over there right now. As we say, we have a link to it. This first picture, tell me who that is. Thoth?
The first picture? There's a picture of the book, then there's a picture of Thoth with the having the headdress of the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, and then underneath of him is Imhotep, and that's what he actually looks like. He was a depiction by the Egyptians of Imhotep, which was Thoth, which was Enoch. And then underneath that, now we go into what I call the ultra-terrestrials.
And yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad you mentioned it. Tell us what we were talking about there.
Jacques Vallée and John Keel, they both are very aware of this, and they speak about them in their books. And even the secret societies, going back to the Rosicrucians, understood how to create invisibility. And one of the secrets to it that I have learned is that they create this invisibility by creating like a cloud. They take these molecules and they spin them around themselves. And I believe what happens is they spin so fast that it spins past our speed of vision. Thus, anything standing inside that cloud with these spinning molecules is completely invisible. So once I learn that, when I use my digital photography, if I see these clouds, then I start looking inside these clouds to see if I can see an object inside of them. And sure enough, that's when I start getting pictures of these grays. And you can see in photo one, that is an actual photo of a, do you see that photo one?
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got that cloud?
Uh-huh.
And then you see that brown inside that cloud? That is a gray that is actually standing looking me dead in the face. And if you look, you can see his black eyes. He's got the bulbous head, the thin neck, and the Gumby-type body.
Wow. Yeah, I see.
And he's looking. And that is right dead outside my my office down on Pine Street. When I was in my other store.
You mentioned a date, 2005.
Yeah, that was in 2005. And then if you follow it down to the second picture, what I did is I put it, I made it black and white. So now you can really see him standing in there.
How large was the large gray?
It was probably about 5'4", 5'5", something like that, six, maybe 5'6", maximum.
Now, did I understand you to say it appeared in your office?
Well, there was one that did, but I physically saw him. That was in a different show that we had done. But this one here, what happened was on Pine Street, and around 2005, we were getting a lot of UFO sightings above Burlington. And so I would go out there. If I'd see a UFO, I'd go out there and start taking pictures. And that night, what happened was I was standing in front of my door. I just got done shooting. And I was standing in front of my door, and I could feel something standing in front of me, looking at me. So I turned my camera back on, and I went to take this picture. And I could not get the camera to turn on. And so I turned my back to this alien, and I stepped inside my door. And just as I did, my camera came on. So I turned around real fast, and I snapped that picture. And I just kind of looked at it, and says, gotcha. And I went.
So this is a photo, not a painting?
No, this is a photo I took of this alien that was standing in front of me.
No wonder it looks so real.
Yeah, and anyhow, I shot that picture, and I laughed, and I says, gotcha. And I didn't realize how well I got him until I downloaded the picture into the camera, or onto the computer. And it's like, whoa.
What is that cloud or whatever?
But this is the cloud that I was talking about. And if you read on that website, I actually have references to it, on the side. There's some writing on this. And it takes you back to The Royal Carusians, they knew about it. The Hermetic Order, they understood how these clouds work, these clouds of invisibility. H.P. Blavatsky talked about it. If you dig into some of this ancient literature, you know, and into some of the stuff from the secret societies, you will learn about, do a Google on cloud of invisibility. But they would take these, they actually create these spinning of these atoms or molecules or something, and they just spin them really fast. They're using a telepathy to do this. And they get them spinning, and they spin so fast that it goes past, the speed goes past our vision, you know, that and then thus it becomes invisible. Anything standing inside of it becomes invisible. But and I know that it is done with the mind, because if you go to photo 3 and photo 4, these were two other aliens that I took photos of prior to photo 1. And again, I was out there and photographing an UFO up in the sky. In photo
3, what are the streaks in there?
Well, that's a whole new ball game. I've got a complete website on these. When you're photographing UFOs, a lot of times they'll shoot this down. And you'll see them, and they're actually, at first of all, I thought that they were streaks of light, but then your ex-partner, Larry Dickens, was the one that pointed it out, that these were actual, they're like coils, and they're actually something physical.
A physical streak of light, or is it circular?
Like almost like...
And you take the picture, you know.
Like almost like a fiber optic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're being shot down from, I would imagine, these UFOs. And we think that what they do is they shoot them down, and as they touch people, it pulls information. You know, it gathers information and then takes back up into the UFO, and then on their computers they study it.
We urge you to go over to burlingtonnews.net,
lost_in_time, and we're talking about the pictures that I have photographed of these alien beings.
And the pictures are numbered.
Yeah, and I realized that they're spinning, they're creating this cloud of invisibility with their minds, because prior to getting photo one, which you can the camera actually was able to penetrate that cloud and get the photo almost like the physical appearance of this alien. But in photo 3 and photo 4, I had previously was out shooting, not that night, but maybe a month or so before, I was shooting another UFO. And when I shot the pictures, I noticed that there was these clouds in the pictures, but I could see like shadowy beings. In photo 3, you can see the shadowy being. It's more to the right of the photo, and you can see it's a black bulbous head with the kind of gumby body. Photo 4 the same way, but photo 4, that one is like almost dead center in the picture. But that was all I could ever get, was like the shadow.
Well, what do you think the shadow is?
Well, the shadow is it's the alien.
I mean, it looks like it's a ghost.
No, it's not. It's the alien, but he's inside that cloud of invisibility. But you see, at that point in time, they were controlling the speed, keeping the speed up on these molecules or these atoms that was spinning, and so the camera wasn't able to shoot through that cloud. It was able to shoot it, and the only thing the camera could get was like a shadowy appearance. But you see, with photo one, I shot it, but at that point in time, see, that alien thought that I was walking away because my camera wouldn't work. So as I turned my back, was walking back into the office, that's when the camera came on, and I turned around quickly and I shot that picture. But you see, he dropped his guard because he thought that I was gone. I was done shooting, so he dropped his guard. And once he dropped his guard, you know, he relaxed his mind. Thus, once his mind was relaxed, the molecules slowed down, but just at that point in time, my camera came on. I turned around real fast and shot it. So the molecule, that cloud wasn't spinning as fast. Thus, it slowed it down where the camera was able to actually penetrate more into that cloud of invisibility. And I actually got the physical features of this alien. And
let's go on with some of the other pictures.
And in photo 5, again, dead center of that photo, and again, folks, you can find it at burlingtonnews.net/lost_in_time. And in photo 5, we were outside of Burlington over by Eagle Lake, which was another hot spot for us to take photos. And there again, we could feel something in front of us, so we shot this picture. But you see, in that picture, you see all that snow there. Well, when you apply coldness to these molecules, it slows that down. Thus, things become denser. I learned that little trick Dr. Michal, Michal Ledwith. But anyhow, so if a person going out to photograph like ghosts, it's always good to photograph in cold weather because it slows the molecules down. Thus, everything becomes denser, and thus the camera can photograph the ghost better. So in this case, what we did is we photographed what we felt was in front of us, and there again, you can see this what we call ultra-terrestrial standing dead in front of us again, and he's right dead center. You can see his bulbous head, and then you can see the body. It's not completely solid, but it's solid enough where you can make out the person standing there. And then photo 6 was, as you can see, there's your bird people. The photo 6 was taken by this other lady that used to help me photograph. And these were in her home. And you can see there's two ultra-terrestrials standing back by this wall looking at her. But again, you can see that cloud that they're standing in.
So are you saying
photo
these,
five,
things,
the same
are you
thing,
saying these things, Mary, may be around all of us?
All of us. As a matter of fact, photo 7, now you don't have a cloud there. He didn't use a cloud. So apparently...
That shows some people.
Yeah, now photo 5 is apparently... So we've got one way of creating the invisibility by creating this cloud of invisibility. And then I believe we've got the ultra-terrestrial has another way of creating invisibility through mesmerization. A form of mind control, where they can just kind of project something where, they can walk among everyone and nobody sees them. And we know that is possible with how the Hindu they used to have the rope trick where, he would climb up the rope and disappear. And everybody would think he disappeared, but in actuality, he had mesmerized the group of people standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is probably what we're looking at here in photo 7.
Now those pictures were taken by Brad of you giving the tour in the woods, right?
Right. We were standing out in the parking lot, and I'm doing my presentation out there about what these people should be. The different things that they could possibly be seeing and how to feel for spirit and things like that. And so they're all standing around there listening to me. And Brad had taken the photo, and then later on I was looking at this photo and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, because I knew how many people I had in this group. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, we've got one extra person here. And so what I did is, you'll see in photo 7, the full picture, photo 8 and photo 9, I cut the ultra-terrestrial out and enlarged it. And then photo 8 is a cut and then an enlarge. And then photo 9, I did like a negative. But as you can see, in 7 and 8 and 9, here I've got this ultra-terrestrial standing right dead in the middle of this group, listening to what I'm saying, and not one of us are seeing him. Not one. But and he's taken in everything. And if and he owes me $25 too, by the way, because he never paid.
Well, then you go to
And that
9 and then 10.
And that
10,
yeah.
10 has a cell phone picture, isn't it?
Now 10. Now this is a robot type alien, ultra terrestrial. Again, now my dog had picked this one up. See, this was when I lived, I was working across the street at 549 North Pine Street. And I always sat there, and because there was this great big window, storefront window, and I never ever put anything in front of it, you know, and people would drive by and see me sitting in there working away, you know. And
is that a uniform?
Well, what happened there, again, folks, burlingtonnews.net/lost_and_time, and this is photo, we're talking about photo 10. Now, this is a giant, and you can see, if you look at that, where that hand is,
yeah.
You see that hand? That's a robotic hand. And then you see how, now he's sitting on top of this building that, it's the building that I have now for the Sci-Fi Cafe, but this is an old hotel. And he's sitting on top of that roof with his leg hanging over the edge of that roof. To give you an idea how big that thing was that was sitting up there. And he's just sitting there, and he just...
How big would you guess?
Oh, that? God, I could... 20 foot, maybe?
Mm.
I mean, this is a... he's sitting on top of a four-story building. And,
can we hang over
you
a little
see,
bit?
Or, and you can see where...
We still got some pictures to go, or do we have to wrap it up at an hour?
No, we don't have to wrap it up.
Okay, let's keep on going.
Okay, so you can see how his leg is hanging... over that eave on that building, to give you an idea how big this thing is. But the reason I photographed him is because Nico, my dog, was he just kept whining and jumping up at the window and looking out the window, and he had such a worried look on his face. And then pretty soon he would disappear, and then, you know, and lay down, and then pretty soon he'd come back, and he kept acting like maybe he wanted to go out, you know, or something was out there. So finally I got thinking, well, maybe there is something out there. So I thought maybe it was a spirit, or maybe, you know, a UFO or something. So I grabbed my camera and I let the dog out, and he just stood out there, and he just looked at that building, at the top of that building, and whined. And I thought, well, what the heck, because I couldn't see anything. So anyhow, I shot that picture. And brought the dog back in, loaded it up on the computer, saw what was sitting there, and scared me so bad that night I turned around and I put everything I could think of in front of that window so that there would never come a time again that something like that could be sitting across the street watching me.
Now, a lot of these pictures show these things inside a cloud, it looks like to me.
Exactly, that's that cloud of invisibility. Now, photo 11, I wasn't able to... because what I had to do with this photo is I had to scan it yesterday and then put it up, digitalize to get it onto the computer. And I wasn't able to lighten it like I was, what I have here at the store or at the office. But this one here, again, is another ultra terrestrial. He was in the woods, and we were going into the second, because there's two woods there, and we were going into the second set of the woods, and I felt him again standing there. And I looked back at the group that I was with, and I says, there's something standing right here. And I pointed right at him. And the person that was behind me says, well, I seen him move. Okay? But as I had pointed at him, the woman that was behind him had a cell phone. And she shot a picture of where I was pointing. And so a week later, she comes and she's, Mary, you're not going to believe this, but take a look, because she had the photo developed. And there he was. Now, on this photo 11, all you could see on this is the shoulders down. there's actually, he's kind of like standing by this this tree. It's you know, there's a lot of leaves and brush right there. So anyhow, it's kind of difficult to see. But on the computer, though, as you're looking at this site, you'll actually be able to see two gold buttons on his chest. You can see his arms coming down and his hands folded.
So he's wearing some sort of clothes.
Yeah.
Uniform.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And anyhow, so we got him. And then in photo 11, another example of the ultra-terrestrials is you can actually see these two. They're standing to the left of the picture, and there's one standing, and then another one's kind of standing next to him, kind of like looking around him. And then you can see right up at the top of the picture, maybe possibly another one. But you can really see those guys onto the left of that picture, standing there, you know, just standing there, just as quiet as can be. But they're watching us. And again, they're standing in that cloud.